Hello, welcome. If you're a woman physician struggling with burnout and lack of professional fulfillment, then on this episode, you're going to learn firsthand how Dr. Sunny Smith has discovered a way for women physicians to finally enjoy the life they've worked so hard to create, decreasing burnout while increasing professional fulfillment and self-compassion. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Allen, the founder and CEO of HeroForge, where I help healthcare professionals harness AI through education, app development, and a venture studio that incubates AI native startups. Today, I have with me Dr. Sunny Smith. Dr. Sunny Smith is the founder and CEO of Empowering Women Physicians, EWP, the most effective physician coaching program documented to date. She's been in the top 2% of female-founded companies in the U.S. for the past 7 years and has been featured in JAMA, New England Journal of Medicine, Entrepreneur Magazine, Forbes, and Inc. 5000. Sunny, a big welcome to the show.
Hello, beautiful to be here.
So glad to have you. So take me back to the moment you realized that women physicians that you're working with weren't just stressed, they were actually burning out.
Well, I think it started with me, as it does with many of us physicians. We think that we're just stressed and busy is really the main thing that we realize. We're just busy, busy, busy. There's never really any moments, especially when there's kids at home. And in addition to work, in addition to the 60 hours or whatever, nights and weekends. And so I had gone on a vacation to Tahiti. And you may know my story that I got into a bicycle accident while I was there. And suddenly, everything that I had been in charge of and thought was completely necessary for the world to keep spinning was not necessary because the world kept spinning when I broke both of my arms and got a head injury and broke my face. And so I went from going what felt like 100 miles an hour at all times to 0 miles an hour with a complete forced stillness. And that's when I started to see that everything that I had been so worried about, so obsessed about, thought was so necessary was in fact completely optional. And my friends would come and visit me when I was laying home on the sofa, unable to move or to take care of myself or even feed myself. And they would look so busy going from one place to another place to another place. And, just as we do, like chickens with our head cut off, for a bad analogy there, but just so busy. And all I could think of with that distance was, if I ever get better, I'm just not going to do that anymore. Right? Why do we choose that? I thought, if I ever get well enough to walk again and drive again and maybe go back to work, I'm not going to choose to do it in this frazzled way that we had all been doing for so long. And so when I went back to work, I did go back to only, I let go of some of the director titles that I had and only to the things that were most important to me. And that's, I found coaching during that time that helped me to see when you can't change your circumstances, you can change the way that you think and feel about what's going on in your life. So that's what I did. I taught, created this situation where at first I thought, I just always thought, why'd I get on the bike? Why'd I get on the bike? Why'd I get on the bike? And it was just replaying in my head. And then I really shifted my perspective and my narrative to this could be the most useful thing that ever happened to me to really change my perspective on things. And so I wanted to be able to offer that to other people that you didn't have to get in an accident to get the perspective shift that you really could prioritize what was most important and let go of everything else. And so I started working with other physicians. I trained, I certified, and then started working with other physicians during my training for free to see if it really helped or if I was crazy. If it was just like I was a unique unicorn or if this was something that could really help almost any woman physician. And I found no matter their situations where they were so burned out and felt so trapped, as so many physicians do. I mean, most physicians feel burned out and trapped. And people were able to really actually make a change in their life without having to go through something so drastic and to feel so much better. So that's how I got into it.
Wow, incredible story. How long of a period of time was that recovery for you? And were you thinking, did it, when did this come to you in that period of time?
Yeah. Well, it was 2017 and it was Mother's Day. And then I was able to go back to work by the time we had to do the white coat ceremony for our new entering class, and you read their names and do the Hippocratic Oath and welcome them through that. So I rushed back a little sooner than I should have, but I took 3 months off completely and then went back and then had to go back out for another set of surgeries and then came back in. So in total, it was probably, about 6 months or so. And what happened was that I couldn't watch TV or read books or anything like that. So some friends who were women physicians recommended a podcast so that I could put the AirPods in my ear. Actually, my husband put them in my ears, and then I would just lay
Initially,
there
you
all
couldn't
day
even
long.
see.
No, I could see. I couldn't put them in my ears because my hands were my elbows were broken. My eye does have metal in it and around the outside of the orbit, but I couldn't put the AirPods in my ears because my arms wouldn't bend at all, so I couldn't get anything to my face or do anything useful. But so he would put them in my ears and then just press play on my phone, and I would just lay there and listen to this podcast. It was all about coaching concepts. And so that's how I got the idea about that coaching was helpful. I'd never heard of coaching before, and how it helped people shift their trajectory. And I listened to all 200 episodes that existed of this podcast over the course of those months
And
because it was
who
the
was
main
the
thing that we do.
podcaster?
It was Brooke Castillo, and it was called the Life Coach School. And
Wow.
so I thought, well, why would I listen to something called the Life Coach School? But physicians had sort of discovered it and discovered that it had some helpful concepts for people to learn about reframing and narrative and taking control of what you think and feel in any circumstance and identifying fact versus story, just some things that are very basic but very helpful. And then when I got to the end of the 200 episodes and it was live, then she said, well, I'm offering a training, a webinar for a training if anyone wants to come and learn about how we train people to become life coaches. And now that I'm in marketing and run a business, I know that, of course, that that's where she was pitching for people to sign up for her program. But I just went to go learn, and I very quickly was compelled and interested and curious and put down a deposit and got started in training myself on how to do that. And I thought everyone would think I was crazy. I didn't even tell anyone what I was doing. I was told people I was going to a conference. Like, it was a conference, but it was training, the beginning of my training to become a life coach. And I had only told my closest friends and everybody, I thought would think I was crazy.
That's great. So this was all in that 6 month period before you went
Well,
back to
no,
practicing.
so I went back. So then, so after 3 months, I went back, and after, a little while, I had to take some more time off. So the August, September, anyone in academic school year would recognize the White Coat ceremonies, August, September timeframe. And then I went off again in around maybe October, November, Thanksgiving, and came back at January. But I decided to do my training. I signed up in spring, that spring, and then I started my training on Memorial Day weekend at that time. So it became like a full year of the transformation of myself before I went into starting working with other people on it.
That's great. Okay, so you kind of had formal coaching, formal training in being a coach before you started to be a coach. That's I did not know that about you. And so was it after you finished that program that you then started taking on the pro bono?
Yes, I did. Well, it was during the coach certification training program because you needed to be coaching people who were strangers, who, because you wanted to know if it was going to work. Is it really just, is it just you? Is it just you and the people who are already fanatics about it? Or could this work with strangers that you found on the internet or people who were friends of friends? Is it because they won't, like your friend will tell you, oh, that's helpful, but that's just because they're your friend. So if you really want to test something in the market, you have to test with people who have no like buy-in into you succeeding or telling you that it works or wanting you to feel better. You just really want to know, does this really work for people? So that was my goal during training. In fact, one of the people that I came across on the internet who came across my ad on the internet asking for free clients to coach was someone that was Bonnie Koo during that time frame. She was one of the people. And so I coached her for free for 6 months. And then she became a paying client. And we've been friends ever since. So, yeah, I just really went out to people that I didn't know to see, does this really help you? And then once I was done, the day I was done with my training, then I started charging.
That's really fascinating. And so When you started coaching, what was the initial focus of your coaching and how has that evolved into where you are today?
I just call it's general life coaching on anything that you need coaching on because I'm a family physician. And so I am used to taking all comers for whatever reason. Knock, knock, knock. How can I help you? And I walk in. And so that's kind of my approach to physicians, female physicians. They come to my Zoom room, knock, knock, knock. How can I help you? And,
Yeah.
what would you like coaching on today? And whatever they say, I coach them on that. And so
Wow.
then it started as life coaching, which was largely related to any issue that a physician, female physician, could be concerned about, which could be from their work to their marriage to their life to their, and anything that was going on that's distressing to them or a dream that they have. Because it could be someone who's in pain who wants to get out of pain or someone who has a dream and they want to move towards that dream, a life that they want to be living that they're not quite living yet, a goal. And over then I did that. I'm still doing that. That is mainly what I do. And there became a time because I was a successful entrepreneur and had a successful business as a physician that then also I did life coaching on Tuesdays and business coaching on Thursdays. And then the other days of the week, I have other coaches working for me 7 days a week, coaching one-on-one. But so life and business has been what I've been doing. And I'm focusing more and more back on life because I feel like that is what really matters most. The only reason we have businesses is so that they can really impact our
Yeah.
life, right? The way that we
Yeah.
live our life, how we feel. And so it's a vehicle for impact and purpose and income, yet it's all so that you can live the life that you want to be living.
Wow, amazing. And the so your core business now is still primarily one-on-one coaching.
Well, I do the group coaching.
You do
And
group.
so we do large group, small group, and one-on-one. And so in 2020, there was just too much demand for my time when I would put my time in the same schedule as our other coaches. So right after the pandemic started, I had to, well, for March, April, May, I did continue doing the one-on-one coaching myself alongside my other coaches. And then I had to pull myself out of the one-on-one and focus exclusively on the group. So I have coaches. We've coached over 10,000 hours privately one-on-one, and we still do every day, nights, weekends,
Yeah.
middle of the day, whenever it works for people. There's always people there available to coach. And then I do, along with others, we offer group coaching. So that's where you'll find me in the group coaching.
Yeah. So do you still have one-on-one clients?
Me, myself, no, I don't.
Yeah. Only group. Yeah. And how many
Yeah, it's
coaches
been
do you have
years.
working for you now?
Right now, it's about 10 to 12, and they're amazing. Every single one of them is a certified physician coach who trained where I did. And then all of us have gone on and gotten additional training. And in fact, tomorrow, we're starting our own physician coach certification for the very first time. Tomorrow's our first orientation. So it's taken all these years, and it's been a project we've been working on a long time, but now we are certifying physician coaches as well.
Oh, congratulations. And
Yeah.
is there an accreditation
Yes.
that like organization that you went through?
Yes. Yes. So the NBME, who accredits the USMLE Step 1, 2, and 3, has a board certification for coaching. And so that
Oh.
is the accrediting body that we went through to offer this certification for coaches.
How long was and intense was that process?
It was a pain, let me tell you. I won't lie.
Yeah.
I started doing the initial work on it 3 years ago. But really submitting the paperwork, et cetera, was maybe like 6 months of work. It's just a lot of curricular details and verifying. And then we also are eligible for the International Coach Federation, which is an important coaching body, but it's not a medical body. And so we wanted to be able to offer both.
Yeah, great, great. So you are not only helping people, but you're also helping your clients, but it's a career path for prime. Is it all physicians that
It's all
become
physicians. We're
coaches?
MD DO only, yeah, who are training
Yep.
for coaches. And we are MD and DO only who are doing the training.
Yep.
And there's a wide variety of reasons that people have signed up. Some people, their institution has paid for them to come because they want them to come back and coach at the institution and support other physicians on
Ah.
wellness. So that's pretty amazing. And then some people want to do it because they own their practice and they want to do it with their staff. Some people want to do this with their patients. And then a smaller number of people want to be entrepreneurs or are already entrepreneurs and have some coaching certifications and just want a more official certification, like an accredited body.
Yeah. Congratulations. What is your certification called if people want to go
It's
through
called Physician Coach Certification Program.
it?
I'm a very descriptive person. All of our, in entrepreneurship, they tell you to always have like a creative name for things. And
Yep.
I name them exactly what they are. Like our coaching program is called EWP Coaching Program. And then our seasons when we're enrolling, because I was a medical educator. So I just, all of our courses when I was the course director were like fall, winter, spring. So that's what I call them, like fall, winter, spring coaching
Yeah.
program. And so the physician coach certification program, that's what it's called. It's the 2026 EWP physician coach certification program.
Yeah, wonderful. So if you're listening to this and have a desire, you're a physician or a DO that wants to get into coaching, this is exactly where to go, Sunny Smith.
Exactly.
So
Exactly. We're excited to finally offer it. We've been asked for years, and so finally it's real.
wonderful. Now, what is super fascinating to me about your program is the amount of data that you've collected on the impact to your clients. So, please share that.
Yeah, so because again, I came from an academic background where you always do program evaluation. Every single time you start a course or finish a course, you should do an assessment, right? You could do a needs assessment at the beginning, which we do in EWP, and then you do a program evaluation and outcomes evaluation. And so it just seemed like that's how you know if you're, it's a best practice for adult education. And it's surprising to me that many entrepreneurs don't do things like this because I couldn't imagine have started something without an integrated assessment. And so from the beginning, I've been getting information on our clients. And then in 2020, as I mentioned, we were starting our program right around at the same time that COVID started. And so I asked, I was doing a long-winded answer to what you were saying, but this is how we got to the data that we have is that I was doing something for the California Medical Association along with Mickey Trockel, who's from Stanford and is one of the leaders in physician wellness in the country and in the world. And I said to him, we have this great coaching program. What would you recommend that we measure? Because I'm telling you, it works. It's amazing. The impact is so profound. I never could have imagined. What do you think, since you're the nation's leader in physician wellness, that we should be measuring? And he said, use the Stanford Professional Fulfillment Inventory that he created and the self-valuation inventory. So that's what we started asking people at the beginning and the end is this short survey that is designed to be sensitive and specific to change in physicians. And so it asks how burned out they are. It asks about their level of professional fulfillment. It asks about self-compassion for themselves. And so after we'd been doing that for a handful of years, we looked back at hundreds, we went and got an IRB and we looked at hundreds of physicians and we found that 77% of physicians were burned out when they came in and 33% were burned out when they left. So, and then if you do the scores, I can't remember, it's like 20 something to 11 point something on a, linear scale where 14 is the cutoff for burnout. And so we decreased burnout by 44%, which is unparalleled. And it's not like it was a one-off. It was season after season after season and year after year in any woman physician in any specialty with any problem that she came for. You already asked, like, what problems do we coach on? Whatever they came for. And this was during a pandemic. So things were pretty ugly out there. And in just 8 weeks, being able to give people back some agency, some self-efficacy, some choice, some perspective, and helping them take action from that place, realizing that they really aren't trapped and there are things that they can do to start feeling better now.
So let's go back to that. First of all, phenomenal results. I mean, really, and just the fact that you produced those results, right, is so unique. I really want to understand what is your methodology? How do you achieve that transformation so
Great
quickly?
question. So what we start with, I mean, first of all, there's this normalization of that it's hard to be a physician when you're in a group with other physicians. So we name the things that are hard and we make people feel not alone and not broken and not like there's something wrong with them. This is a very predictable outcome. You take a very high functioning, intelligent person who's has a same or better mental health as their age match peers going into medical school, and within months, their mental health is worse than their peers, right? Because right away, going into medical school is distressing. And then when you take your USMLE step one, that's the worst time in medical school. And then you think it's going to get better when you go to residency. And then an internship, 1 in 5 or 20% is suicidal within the first 3 months. So it just, you know, this is very predictable that it's going to be stressful out there. So we try to teach them that. And then we teach them that, okay, those are the circumstances, those are the facts. The facts are most physicians are burned out and the system has resulted in this and it's not designed in your favor. Okay, now what are you going to do about it? What's the story you want to tell about it? What's your perspective or approach going to be? How can you be more empowered? How can you make some decisions that are in alignment with what matters most to you, and how can you pay attention to what you feel? Because your body is always sending you signals about, you know, these are like evolutionarily, your feelings were designed to make you move and to do things. So if you're in pain, that's a sign and signal you're supposed to change something. So there's this model that we use called the thought model that I learned from Brooke Castillo at the Life Coach School. That is your thoughts create your feelings, which drive your actions, which create your results. And so we go over that with them over and over and over again. And now there's even been randomized controlled trials using that same exact model with up to 26 sites and over 1,000 women physicians. That was not our study, but the same model. Thoughts create feelings, which drive actions, which create results. And when you give people that awareness tool for their unintentional model and give them an ability to create a more intentional model, it can be pretty empowering and impactful.
Wow. Yeah, I believe that so firmly. In fact, I have that as my, I don't know, pull this out. This is the cover on my iPhone is ex saying exactly all of that. And
Interesting.
there's a few things. So, your watch your thoughts. Because oh, there's it's being blocked out, but it's basically the same thing. As this is what I remind myself of all the time. So that's so cool.
Yes.
It starts with our thoughts. So direct
To
those
be
thoughts.
mindful of that and aware of that, even with the things that we blame on the system, which is very real, the system is very broken. And yet, if we just think, okay, the system is broken, that could create a feeling of disempowering, which creates inaction, which creates the same exact result, right? As opposed to if the system is broken, but we can think, and I can do something about it, or I am not trapped, and still within, I still have control, or whatever the thought is, no matter your situation, there's always some kind of thought that you can choose that is going to be more helpful to you.
You know, this reminds me of a short story, and then I want to hear a couple of your stories of your clients. But a story I wanted to share very related to this. When I first started my residency, my internship year, for about the first, well, after about the first week when I was completely sleep deprived, I just couldn't stop thinking about how much I hated this and how much I wanted to quit. And I talked to my mentor, Professor Larry Baroff, who's the head of the emergency department at UCLA. And I was not even in the residency yet. I was doing my internal medicine internship. And it was like 3 weeks in, I was literally right about to quit. And he said, "You have to stop thinking about the pain. If you shift your mind to what the activities in front of you are and just focus on that, you're going to get through this."
And it worked.
It worked. Yeah.
Wow. You had a coach right there, right?
That
If you
small little
succeed.
insight literally made, if you're focused on your pain, there's just no way you can move. It's like, that was just different. So I would love to hear a couple of concrete examples where you were able to create that gotcha, maybe starting even with yourself in, I'm sure, probably feeling really sorry for yourself and your own mistakes. And what was that transition for you? And what were a couple of examples that you've seen in clients that just clicked?
Yeah. Well, I would say for me, of course, that first one was why to get on the bike. I can't tell you how incessant that thought was to this is gonna really change my perspective on the whole rest of my life. And this is gonna help me really realize what's important and what matters and what doesn't matter. So that was the first huge shift for me because it really taught me that most of what we are worried about all the time that we think matters so much doesn't really matter in the end, right? What really matters is if you're alive and if you're healthy and if you can take care of yourself and if you can take care of your family. That's what matters the most because when that is threatened, nothing else matters. And then all the other, like, things that takes up 99% of your day, you can start to realize, okay, how much of this do I really want to keep? So then the big shift for me going back to work was not doing anymore just what people expected of me and what I had been doing forever, but to really focus on if I wanted to only do what was most important to me and let everything else go, what would that look like? And just starting to shed, because everything you, I loved all my work. It's just there was so much of it, director of this thing, director of that thing, director of, like, how many courses do you want to direct and how many people do you want to write letters for and how many all the things, and how many nights do you want to work? Because I worked nights every single week for like 15 years and it just gets old after a while. So I just decided I wasn't doing that anymore. And as an example, they told me I still had to keep working nights. And eventually I was like, then I'm done working here because I'm not going to keep working nights my whole entire life until I retire. So even when people think there is no option, there's always an option. And then for many other people, people come into my program with all kinds of goals. Like one person was an OB-GYN. This happens, a lot of people come midlife sort of, where they just don't want to do it the way they've been doing it anymore. So an OB-GYN who just didn't want to take any more call for deliveries because her kids were going to graduate from high school and it was going to be like her last years with them, and she wanted to be able to take time off and go skiing and, just be a normal human being instead of being up in the middle of the night all the time. And she thought that her partners were going to say, well, then you have to leave, right? Because we all take equal call. So we coached her through. There actually are OBs who don't take call, right? You can do gyne. You can have a different arrangement. She says, I have to give up my partnership. I'll have to leave. And she went back and negotiated. And through the 8-week program, by the end, they had renegotiated and she was going to do all the gyne surgeries and they were going to take all the overnight call. And she got to stay partner and stay in her same workplace. And she was ready to walk and do locums if she had to. So things like that, where it's just you think that things are stuck and they have to be the way they are. And I have people, for instance, who were full-time, like a cardiothoracic surgeon, who's still with me. She's been with me for 6 years now. And she had a full-time job that she really didn't like. And she ended up moving to locums. And now she's been doing locums for years. And she gets so many months off and makes so much more money and gets to help people in communities that have no help. So I used those two different examples because I didn't want people to think that they have to stay at their current job when I said, well, yes, you can stay at your current job. And I don't want people to think that they have to leave their current job. And many people, it has nothing to do with their job. It's really like an inside job that they're working on something that they're very unhappy about or a big dream they have, right? Like we talked about Bonnie, and she was trapped in a, and she's told this on podcast, so it's not private, but she was trapped with, where she would have to pay over $100,000 to be able to leave her work, her job, because of the financial arrangement and contract that she had. And I was like, well, that's what the contract says, but that doesn't mean that has to be the way it's going to go down, right? You get to choose. And so she went and had conversations with them. She was able to leave without them charging her anything. And she got a different job as a dermatologist. She started doing locums too. And then we coached her into being able to do the entrepreneur path that she did, where she was running courses and programs to teach women physicians about wealth. And I actually made her what they call an irresistible offer in entrepreneurship, right? So I said to her, I said, it was a 1 year coaching program for $27,000. I was still doing one-on-ones back then. And I said, I guarantee that you will 10x your money in your new entrepreneurial journey, or I'll give you all your money back. And she did. So
Awesome. And so where was she at the beginning of that? If she was a
she
million
was at
dollars already,
zero. She was at
she's a
zero. I mean, practically zero, right? And
a
so
ten time
there's
her
just,
investment in you.
10 times the investment that she made, $27,000.
Awesome.
And so there's a wide range of things, as I said, that women physicians could come for, but what they want is what we have. That's what coaching is. Like, real coaching is that you take someone where they are and you help them get where they want to be. And that's it. And wherever they want to be is up to them.
Now, you mentioned that you a few times, 8 weeks. Does the program start at 8 weeks and then they can extend it from there?
Yes, you're very wise. Yes, our program has been 8 weeks. I recently extended it to 12 weeks, but that was just this year. I switched over to 12 weeks because instead of doing multiple times a week, I'm trying to space it out so that it's a little bit more doable, because it can be overwhelming to fit so much coaching into your regular life. So I thought this would be lighter, like EWP light. But yeah, we do 8 weeks as an initial program, and then if people want to sign up for a continuity program, then we have something that goes year round.
And during those 8 weeks, how much time commitment is it?
It has varied over the years. So we were doing for a while, for quite a while, we were doing Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and it would be around 2 hours. Although if people who are listening have been in my program, they would be laughing because I go over all the time. So those 2 hours could become three or four, plus the one-on-one. So it was available. You don't have to do all of it, but it was available 7 to maybe 10 hours a week. And then you would choose how much of it you do. And so for some people, that 8 weeks of really focused sprint time frame where they were deeply immersed, I think that's partly why we get so much impact, because most of the co coaching studies will be about like 3 to 6 hours of total coaching time. I'm like, we do that every week. You know, that's
Yeah,
not like the entire
that's
intervention.
very
So
intensive.
our
And do you have a lot of objections of people saying, I just don't have that amount of time?
the biggest of you can make time for what's important. I'll tell you why they show up is because they pay a lot of money. And once you are significantly invested, because it's a $10,000 program, you're going to show up and you're going to get your money's worth, right? People don't no-show a $10,000 program. So that also helps us get great results because people are very invested and they have made a big decision to be there. It's a high priority in their life when they're there. But I will say that that is most typically what it was when it was 8 weeks. And so then we went down to Tuesday, Thursday, and then I went down to just Tuesdays. So that's why I've extended the program, because I think especially over the, 2020 to 2025 or so, people were still a little more post-pandemic and spending more time on Zoom. And as the years go by, I think people do not want to spend as much time on Zoom. So we are adapting to what I think is best for me and what is best for our clients. And as I said, we always get feedback, formal feedback. And I do think that the sustainability, the portion of people who go from 8 weeks to the year-long program is lower if they think they need a break. They're like, that was a lot. This was amazing. I loved it. And I can't continue to do this so intensely. So instead, I'm just now doing it's Tuesdays are the group calls, and that's all year round, 52 weeks. And then the 7 days a week are for the one-on-ones.
So are you're leading the Tuesday group calls, also the Thursday?
No, we only do people are getting the whole EWP inside scoop. We are just doing Tuesdays now, and that is it. This is
Just this.
2026, so we switched over. We do once a week. I do some of them. Other people do some of them. People love them. We have these small groups. They become friends. People like really truly become very good friends with each other. They fly to see each other's babies. They go on vacation together. They go to Miraval Spa together. So like people who have been in the program for a while, they really get to know each other and they really appreciate that time.
And the program, is it evergreen or there's cohorts?
It's cohorts and we're
Yep.
live. Nothing evergreen. Well, okay,
Yep.
we have some recorded, we do have old recorded content, but it's definitely not an evergreen program. It's a live come get coached program.
And how often do you start?
We do seasonal, so like winter, summer. Let's see if we do it in order. Winter, spring, summer, fall.
So you do four
We've
different
done three
programs.
to four.
Three
Yeah,
to
three
four.
to four.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we
Wow.
skip spring. Like right now, where it's April when we're recording this. And so I have to decide because I have a coach certification program right now if I'm going to skip spring and just do winter, summer, fall this year. So it's
Yep.
either three or four, depending on what's going on with us.
Excellent. And so a question for you, kind of bringing this kind of combining what I'm doing in AI and bringing AI to doctors, and where do you see this fitting into your program and the lives AI, the lives of your clients? Is this an important topic? Are people worried about it, fearful about it, excited about it? What are you hearing?
I would say the biggest change that I'm hearing from physicians in my program, since they come in with distress, is AI charting and people where they are in various versions of that rollout, whether they're just starting, whether they want it, whether they've been doing it, whether they're doing it and they're getting great at it. Some people have found, and we do a lot of charting coaching as well inside our program, and some people have found that. That could be life-changing. If you get AI and you get efficient, then you suddenly get your life back. So that is the hugest change that I see inside of our program. And then the other stuff is like the convenience, you can use AI as your therapist if you want to. You can use AI for everything that everybody else is using it for. Like, it's your Google, it's your life planner, it's your vacation planner, it's your, like those typical kinds of light intro uses of AI.
Yeah. Are you touching on the topic with inside of your community?
I would say mainly the only place that we talk about it significantly is if people bring it up. And so
Yeah.
people bring up the charting and people bring up how they're using it in their life. And so
Yeah.
I don't do any teaching on it intentionally. And I, for our physician coach certification, I could tell you I am so glad that AI is here now and that we started this coach certification now and not 3 years from now when I first
Yeah.
was, started the preparation and the trainings, et cetera, so that we could do it because it's been so helpful to put together our presentations, to put together applications, to just everything. I mean, it can make literally make your PowerPoints. I know that seems simple for people, who are very advanced in AI like you are, but for most people to know that you could just type in a little prompt and then seconds later, okay, maybe minutes, have an
Yeah.
entire fully formatted PowerPoint ready to go. Or if
Yeah.
you're making a survey, like, as I said, we always do outcomes measurements. And so I just went in and I told it what I was thinking, and it came up with a whole bunch of stuff that I should be measuring. And then it went over to Google, like I don't even know what it's called. Claude went to Google something and it made me a survey all by itself. So I was like, wow, like that I can actually send out in a Google, what do they call those?
Google Form.
The
Yeah.
yeah, in a Google form. It made me a
Yeah.
Google form. And I'm gonna modify it a little bit, but I was like, it just made code. And it just told me to copy paste it, and I did. And so anyway, like it's just it's can make things of running a company, as you know, so much easier. And I'm complete novice on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm sure I'm like a one or a two, but it's been pretty helpful to have these tools available to us. And it knows all of my brand voice, and it has all my client surveys for the past 7 years or something. It's all uploaded into Claude, so it knows what my clients want, which is
Yeah.
amazing. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, we need to have a deep conversation about the current
Yeah.
state of AI and how it can help your business.
Yes,
So
yes.
we should definitely follow up on that. It's
Yes.
it is incredible how fast this whole environment is
It's going
changing.
so quickly. Yes. I mean, I've only been on Claude for a couple of weeks. And it's so helpful already.
Yeah, you kind of found out about them like most of the world around the what happened with the Pentagon, and
Exactly, around
they got a
that
lot
time
of
frame.
publicity
Shortly
out of that.
thereafter, everybody's talking about it.
Yeah,
Exactly.
that's wonderful. Okay, so with if a listener wanted to know more about your framework and how to sign up and how to get the transformations that you are offering, where do they find out more information and sign up?
They would go to empoweringwomenphysicians.com, and we have a guide there that goes over the basics of the foundations of the kind of work we do inside the program that anybody can walk through inside of a worksheet. So they're welcome to grab that if they would like.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Sunny Smith, thank you so much for joining me today. And this was a great show. Really wonderful to hear your background and all of the positive impact that you're making to women physicians. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And again, if you have interest in this, you're a woman physician, you're feeling burnout, you're struggling in any kind of way, take a look at Empowering Women Physicians. And also, if you're interested, the new thing, new news today for me, if you're interested in potentially going into the coaching business itself, contact Sunny there. Do they go to somewhere different or same place, Empowering Women Physicians?
Same website, and they just click on Get Certified, and then they can find all
Fantastic.
the information about getting certified.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sunny.
Thank you.